Yub yub.
Yub yub. Yub yub. Yub yub. Yub nub. Nub nub.
Yub yub.
It said yub nub.
Yub nub.
But in the movie, they very clearly say yub yub.
You're listening to Swept Together, the story of a modern romance between two adventurers at home, at work, and on the road.
We're your hosts, Christian and Annabelle. Join us as we explore the world and make our home together, wherever we end up.
Because after all, home is
where we follow through.
Welcome to episode 26 of Swept Together, the podcast where we talk about business and relationships. And Annabelle is touching my neck.
You had fuzz in your hair. I had to make sure you looked your best for this podcast episode where no one can see you.
Just in case. Just in case somebody barges in to the room.
Right.
And then says, hey, what are you guys doing there? Podcasting with your neck all fuzzy.
Seriously, I've got your back, babe. I just want you to know that.
Thanks, baby.
Anyway, continue with your welcome.
So welcome to episode 26 of our show, where we talk about business and relationships and traveling at times, because we're not traveling all the time, but we are definitely.
About to be.
That's true. Well, we'll talk about that on maybe like the next episode or something like that. That'd be a cool one. Mm-hmm. We need to do an episode catching up on the RV because we're going to be on that.
Yeah, we do. It's coming up so soon.
I was just talking to John about the fact that we are literally going to only have like 4 weeks of time left in Denver before we go. We'll have a little bit more time as residents, but
that means quite a lot of
on the ground.
Quite a lot of projects to finish up. We got to get it together. But
yeah,
we'll do an update episode about the RV. Have we revealed the name of the RV on the podcast?
No, not really.
You've seen it. If you follow us on Instagram, you've seen it because I've started using the hashtag.
Oh, I haven't because I'm not usually on Instagram.
But so you've gotten a sneak because we haven't dropped it yet on the podcast.
Yeah. Okay. Well, do you want to talk about that now or do you want to talk about
that? No, we'll save it for another episode.
Okay,
but
we'll
if you're dying to know, go follow us on Instagram because you'll see the name.
Yeah.
Hidden. In the hashtags.
It's not very hidden.
Okay. That's true. If you want to catch up with where we're at on the RV, you can dig into our archives where we've done some previous episodes about the RV. We've got tons of content. Well, 26 previous episodes. You can find them on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher.
And if you're listening on iTunes or the podcast app on your iPhone or other devices, iThings, if you're listening to that on those, then you can rate... What? You can rate stuff. You can.
That's a terrible sentence.
What's wrong with that sentence? You can rate.
Okay.
Go rate us on iTunes or the podcast app.
Yeah.
And if you don't know how to do that, go to swepttogether.com/share the love. Can we change that? Can we go to a bit.ly? bit.ly/rate us.
It's literally in every episode.
I know. I just have a hard time saying it.
We can create a bit.ly if you want, but don't go to that one that Christian just said because that's not ours.
What?
The bit.ly you just said.
I don't know who bit.ly dot. No. Yeah. Go to share. Damn it. Swept together/share the love.
Yes.
So anyway, let's get on with the show.
Right. Today we're going to be talking about follow through, and we started thinking about this topic yesterday afternoon.
Which was Saturday for us. We record on Sunday, so.
Yeah,
but
typically we record on Sundays.
It was 4 days ago.
Right. So this weekend.
Or a month ago, if you just tuned in March.
Although we know that all of our listeners are waiting with bated breath to wait for our podcast episode to drop on Tuesdays.
at 12:01 a.m. every Tuesday. Swept Together Tuesday, guys.
Yes. So, anyway, this past weekend, I had an event with the DePaul Alumni Association. That's where I went to undergrad, was DePaul University in Chicago. And they organized a alumni event where groups of alumni all across the country got together to watch a men's basketball game, the Blue Demons. We played Seton Hall, and we lost.
But it was not that much.
It was a good game. It was a
pretty close game at the end.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, it was a fun game to watch. But needless to say, when I signed up for this event, I got an email a few days later from somebody in Chicago at the Alumni Association saying, hey, would you mind, you know, greeting people or having them sign in when they come to the event? I was like, sure, I guess I can do that, you know.
Pretty low threat.
Right. And then all of a sudden, I was like running the whole event. And
they were like, here, we're going to mail you
all of this stuff. We're going to mail you all of these things.
All the the DePaul swag.
Yeah. So pom-poms and name tags and all kinds of stuff.
Pins.
Yeah.
If you guys want some DePaul pins, then go ahead and
alumni, hit us up. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I had this all this stuff, and I'm like, okay, all of a sudden I'm like in charge of this event. This is interesting. So I get this whole email about getting to the restaurant early, making sure they have the food and that the TV is set up and all this kind of stuff. Like, wow. So I get there and I realize when I look at the list that only 4 alumni have signed up for this event. So I was one of 4.
I thought they said 10.
Well, so it was 4 people. Alumni, okay. And each one brought a guest.
Oh.
And each one registered a guest.
So there's 5 alumni.
No, I was one of the 4.
Oh, you're one of the 4?
That had pre-registered for this event. Yeah. The Alumni Association is not super organized. I have a hard time keeping up with when events are and stuff. I'm sure people just missed it. So anyway, I was one of 4 people, which basically means that I was in charge of this event, likely because I was the only one who responded to that email.
Yikes.
So we show up, we wait, we got there half an hour early before the game, we waited.
Annabelle had a drink.
I did have a drink.
And we then waited. 3 more.
No.
Oh.
I just had 1.
Okay.
But
I had several drinks.
You did, of the Coca-Cola variety.
You're not supposed to give that away.
Oh, sorry. It was rum and Coke.
Yes. There was rum and Coke. Maybe just not in the same
cup.
Glass.
Anyway, the point of the story is that after all of this waiting that we did, no one showed up.
The whole time.
We stayed for the whole game till around 2 p.m.
Pretty sad.
Nobody came. Not even the other people that had registered. No one else. We had this like whole guest sheet for people who were supposed to sign in if they didn't pre-register. And here I was sitting alone at like 5 tables. Well, with Christian. The 2 of us at these like 5 tables covered with all this
pom-poms
and
DePaul gear.
Nobody was there. It was sad.
But we got to eat free food.
Yeah, thanks for lunch, DePaul Alumni Association. It was delicious. They had pre-ordered food for people, and so they, you know, brought out
food that was pre-ordered.
Yeah, a bunch of food. We didn't even get all of it because there were only 2 of us.
Right.
But anyway, that whole event got us thinking about follow-through and how it would have been easy for us to, well, you know, for me to be like, well, nobody's here, I'm just going to leave and not stay for the whole game or, you know, see how many, once I got the package to see how many people were registered, be like, well, I don't really need to show up early or I don't need to, you know, make this commitment or whatever, but
right. But you made a commitment and you followed through with that commitment, and that's the focus of today's show because right. we actually, when we were watching the game, we saw a commercial for the Utah Jazz. And they had some sort of youth basketball camp put on by this like retired Utah Jazz player. And he was talking about like follow through. You know, they were showing little clips of, you know, the camp. And he was talking about follow through with the kids. And I was like, this is a great example of following through because, you know, you made a commitment to somebody, your alumni association, mm-hmm. and you followed through with that commitment despite, you know, not actually needing to be there.
Right. It was...
And I thought we were going to, like, leave at the half, to be honest. But then you were like, no, let's just stay for a little bit longer. And then a little bit longer turned to just the entire game. We might as well just stay for the entire game.
Because, right.
I mean, and the game started getting good, so...
Right. For a while, DePaul was, like, behind by quite a bit. And then in the last, like, quarter of the game, really...
Yeah, the last quarter of the game... They were neck and neck.
They caught up, and then it got interesting. But
right,
yeah. So it was kind of a bummer of an afternoon because I was excited.
And oh, whoa! We got free food.
We did get free food. We
got free wings. But so that's it's still like, a score.
It's like the childhood nightmare of like inviting people to your birthday party, and then nobody showing up. Except in this case, it wasn't even my party. It was like I showed up to someone else's party I was the only one, like not even the birthday kid showed up. So that was interesting. But yeah, so it got us thinking about this idea of follow through. Like once you start on the path to doing something, just like, you know, committing to see it through to the end.
Right. And even if that thing turns into a failure, for example, or... You know, what is the traditional sense of a failure? Like we had failed marriages mm-hmm. in the past, but we followed through on those. You know, we've talked in past episodes about how, you know, you and I both like were committed to the end, basically, until there was a point at which there was like no return. There was clearly, you know, the other person was like not willing to put in the effort. To
yeah. continue. Well, it's like we weren't willing to let go of our marriages until we got to the point where we really felt like we had done everything possible to make it work.
Right. Like, I know for me, you know, we went through actually two separations. So the first time we separated, you know, I was like, no, we can't, you know, do this. We should go through therapy or counseling rather. So we did, you know, twice weekly counseling sessions, which, you know, I thought would help. Mm-hmm. And for a time it did. And we eventually came back together, and we continued with counseling sessions, like twice a week or once a week kind of thing. But then even though we did that, it still wasn't enough. And at some point, you know, she was like, she kind of called it quits.
Yeah.
And, you know, the second time I was like, you know, I tried my best. I think I did what I thought was, you know, my best effort, but clearly, you know, it's a relationship at the end of the day. And I can't be in a relationship by myself. So, yeah. That's exactly what I was listening to the whole time. I was being very emo at that point in my life.
Did you have listening swoopy to the bangs?
Dashboard Confessional. No, okay. I just didn't cut my hair.
Oh, man.
What about you? What was your... How did the last part of... I mean, I guess the end of your relationship?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it in, I think, episode... 5, which episode did we talk about climbing Mount Elbert? That was right at the beginning.
4,
episode 4. I talked about that a lot in that episode, but I think, you know, for me, there was a period of separation where nobody was really making any moves in one way or the other. And I really had to, you know, come to terms with, because I had said, you know, like, I'm never getting divorced. I'm just getting married one time. Like, this isn't going to happen to me, you know, because I'm committed. And, you know, I think that that's still valid, even though it didn't end up working out. I really, you know, did what I could to protect my marriage and protect my commitment. And when it didn't work out, you know, it was difficult, but I followed it through till the end. And I didn't, you know, sign papers until I really felt like there was no going back. And so, yeah, I think that commitment, that ability to keep your word, is something, you know, it's like an integrity thing.
Yeah.
That it's important in a relationship to be able to trust the person that you're with and be able to know that if they say something to you, that you actually mean what you say.
Yeah.
And I think follow through is a big part of that. When you say something to someone, you're going to do what you say you're going to do.
Right. I mean, is it, you know, like, even for the little things, like if I tell you I'm going to cook dinner tonight and I don't, and it's not by itself, that event is probably not a huge deal.
Right.
Unless you're really, really hungry. Because she gets cranky when she's hungry.
That's true.
You know, like that video on Facebook that's been going around, it's like some little girl and she was speaking like French. And she was like crying and crying and crying. And then the mom in the background was like, do you want to take a nap? And she's like, no. And then the mom continues to ask her, like, do you want this? Do you want that? And she's like, do you want a snack? And she's like, yes. And then she stops crying.
Yep, that's definitely me. I will cry until you give me a snack.
So anyway, where was I going with this?
You said you were going to make dinner.
Oh, yeah. So that could be, you know, that little bit of trust that you had in me for that specific thing. It might not be a big, huge deal in the grand scheme of things. But
right. Over
time, if I continue to do that kind of stuff, then, you know, you'll eventually lose trust in me to do small things or big things.
Right.
And so
exactly. That's
something I don't want to do. So yeah. If I say I'm going to make dinner, then I'm going to make dinner.
None of us are perfect, but it's a cumulative effect of, you know, whether you're doing what you say you're going to do or whether you're not doing what you say you're going to do.
Right. And I think the Gottmans talk about this as well. And it's like, if my part of the bargain is to keep my word when I say something like I'm going to make dinner tonight, or if I say something like I'm going to take out the trash, then my part of the bargain is to follow through on that. And your part would be when those things don't happen, like if I don't happen to take out the trash after I said I did, then you shouldn't attribute it to me from a character perspective. Like,
right.
I'm not, oh, he never takes out the trash when he says he does.
Right.
You know, your part of the deal is to say, well, it was just this one time or whatever. And my part of the deal is to limit and minimize the amount of times that happens throughout the course of our life.
Right.
Lives. And the Gottmans, they're the ones that wrote the book.
Seven Principles of Making Marriage Work, I think, is the name of the book.
Right. We'll put a link to it. We just read it a few months ago together, and, you know, we finished it a few months ago and then started talking about it, incorporating the exercises and things and into our lives. We went through all the exercises and stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things that I remember, is that you're not supposed to attribute those kinds of things to your partner. You're just, you know, kind of... not like shrug it off, but it seemed like that was...
Well, don't make it a character issue.
Yeah. Not like Christian is the kind of person who does this all the time.
Right. Like, say, oh, you forgot, like in a negative, instead of like, oh, you're so forgetful.
Right.
Those are two different things. But I think, like, there's an example just this week that I'm thinking of. I was working, and I asked you to swing by the mailbox to pick up a package.
Yeah.
And you came upstairs, and I was like, oh, is my package in? And you were like, I forgot. And you immediately just turned around and you're like, I'll go get it. And it was one of those like instantaneous, like, yeah, you forgot to pick up the package on your way home, like you said you would, but you instantaneously corrected it. You weren't like, oh, I'll go tomorrow, or I'll, you know, like, you'll have to go later. It was just right. Like, oh, let me just run back out and let me go do that.
And P.S., the mailbox is like 5 minutes away. It's not like, not outside of the house.
Right. Right. Yeah. We have a like a
separate mailbox.
A separate mailbox. So yeah, that was kind of an example of following through where you kept your word to me when right. It could have been easy to be like, well, I'm already home. I'll just go back out later.
And it's cold outside and I just...
Right. Like there could have been an opportunity for you to just be like, well, I'll take care of it another time. But you knew that I needed to, you know, I needed this package. It was actually the package of materials for this event, for the alumni event.
Right.
And so you just went back and did it. And I appreciated that because it showed me, you know, that I can, when I ask you something, even if you don't forget, even if you don't remember immediately, I can count on you to get that done for me. So
yeah, and
that was an example of follow through.
Yeah. And then even bigger things in relationships, like, you know, when you first meet somebody and they're like, oh, I really love to travel, or I love to paint, or I love to do whatever it is that they say that they love to do, but then come to find out like that's not really something that they like to do. It's just like a once in a while thing, and you know, they have fond memories of traveling. Or they like
the idea of doing something.
Right. So if you're, you know, find yourself in a relationship and you love to travel and this other person says, oh, I'd love to travel too, but then you never travel together, then that's an example of not following through on their part. Because then, you know, then you're kind of in a relationship that is not what it seemed like at the beginning. Right,
not what you initially signed up for.
Do you have a example of that?
I do. I definitely, in my first marriage, actually, traveling was something that, you know, I was doing regularly, probably at least twice a year. I was traveling internationally at that point. And it was something that I had said, you know, this is something that I love to do. This is, you know, how I like to spend my money. And, you know, my ex was like, oh, I'd love to travel. And although I think in theory, he did love the idea of traveling, when it came down to spending the money or making the time, there was always something that was more important. And that's okay. You know, it's not everybody has to spend their money the same way I spend my money. But
right.
It was definitely one of those things where I got into the relationship, got committed to the relationship, and then realized, hey, when you said I love to travel or I'd love to travel, you didn't really mean that you were going to travel. And so that caused a lot of stress and a lot of conflict in our relationship, because I, you know, from the beginning had said, this is what I want to do. And I think we made 2 international trips in the 5 years that we were together. And it was, you know, it was really hard for me to, you know, feel supported in that area, because he didn't follow through on what he said was something that he was on board with, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had an ex, and she was, when she and I were dating, she said she wanted to have kids, and that was kind of the plan. I was like, okay, great, I want to have kids too. And then come to find out that she definitely did not want to have kids. And I was like, this is something I should have known like a long time ago before, you know, we kind of really went down this road. And we obviously that didn't pan out because I don't have kids.
Right.
I really hope I don't have kids.
As kind of a like contrary example, I guess, I can remember on one of our first dates. Do you remember? This was about...
Okay. So on our first few dates...
This was maybe...
I had kind of resigned my life. A few
weeks in, yeah.
Yeah. So I'd kind of resigned my life to being a guy who would never have children because I was like, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to find someone who wants to have kids. Clearly, I've had several relationships where that was an issue. Like another one was like, I want to have kids, but I want to be back in California and be, basically live next to my family. And I was like, I don't want to live back in California. So, and then that was something that, you know, broke us up because, you know, she wanted to have kids. She just wanted to do it in California and right. I was not willing to. So I was like, all right, that was a strike. And then the other one was
the story I was just telling you.
And then, you know, and then there was an ex who couldn't have kids. So I was just like, you know, maybe kids are not in my future. And so I was going into dating you with just, you know, this kind of mindset, I guess, or let's just, what's the word I'm looking for? Like resolve that I'm just not going to have kids ever. Right. So then I was just like, I'm not going to have kids. And I told you that, what, like our third or fourth date?
It was a little past that because I think we had been seeing each other for about a month.
Okay. And then I was like, hey, so here's where I'm at. I don't want to have kids.
And I was like, uh-oh, because I definitely want to have kids.
Right. But, you know,
and so we went through like, I mean, at least I went through a lot of like internal battle there. Like, do I want to keep dating this guy that I know is saying like, I don't want to have kids and I know that I want a family. So
right.
Am I like setting myself up for failure here by, you know, potentially falling in love with somebody who doesn't want a family?
Well, then what kept you going? Did you just like have this instinctual knowledge that I really actually wanted to have kids? Because that was the case. I really did. But it was like something that I just stuffed in there because I was like, I'm never going to have kids. And I should just like...
It was like a protective
thing. I guess, yeah. I think it was just something that I was just like, yeah, it's in the cards for me. I don't think that I'm meant to have children. Look at all the past relationships that I've been in where kids kind of...
It like, hadn't worked kind out.
Of, it hadn't worked out, or that was like the reason why we broke up or whatever. And so maybe I shouldn't think about this. And so I kind of put myself in that mental state.
Yeah. I mean, I think when we first talked about it, I kind of sensed that there was a lot of like, you know, maybe hurt or something that was... you know, holding you back. And also I had seen you with kids and I was like, this guy is so great with kids. Like he'd be such a great dad.
Which kids did you see me with?
I don't remember who's, but I, like, I feel
is
like.
Is it Abby's?
Maybe.
Not Abby, your sister. Abby, our friend. Right.
I can't remember whose kid it was, but I knew I had seen you around children and been like, interesting. So he doesn't want, I mean, and there are people who love kids that don't want kids of their own.
They're like great uncles or aunts.
So, you know, that's fair. Yeah. But I think, I don't know. I think I was just like, you know, it's early enough in the relationship that at least he's being open and honest with me. And that was something that, you know, that was something that I valued. And I knew that if you were willing in like a month into the relationship to be like, hey, by the way, I want to talk about this hard thing. Because I know that it might, you know, cause problems down the road, I was like, well, at least he's being open and we can have these conversations. So I think we decided that we would loop back, you know, in another few weeks and just kind of see where we were at. Because at that point, I don't know if we had even, like, officially, like, was that before we officially had a DTR or anything like that?
Yes. I definitely did not want to talk, because I talked to my friends about it. I was like, should I tell her now? And, you know, all of my friends were like, yeah, you should definitely talk about this. Yeah. before we got caught up into the relationship too far in, before, you know, so you should definitely tell her before that. So
right, so we hadn't even, like, officially defined the relationship.
Right.
Yeah, so that was kind of an interesting example, like an opposite example of where we, you know, we changed perspectives. And I think part of being in a relationship is understanding that people change. Like, they're constantly, you know, in flux. And so falling in love with somebody and then expecting that they're never going to be a different person than the person you fell in love with is perhaps a bit short-sighted. And I think at that point, I was like, you know, I enjoy who you are as a person enough that I'm willing to stick around to see what happens. And obviously, it worked out.
Things worked out.
It worked out. So,
I mean, we haven't made a baby yet. So.
Yeah. Update. We have not made a baby.
Still. Right. Still not making babies.
But at least we're on the same page about that now.
And it also spills over, like, follow through also spills over into, you know, business too, right? The same kind of thing where you have to follow through to make something happen, to make things happen for yourself in your business.
For sure.
It's like we're following through in our relationship.
Yeah. So as we mentioned last week, I just launched a new service offering through my business, Evergreen Lane Productions. And it's a video editing package, and I've been planning this for a long time, like I said in the episode last week. And so I had this whole thing planned out last week where I was going to do a challenge on my Instagram and have people use a hashtag and be entered to win a discount on, you know, a package, and no one used the hashtag all week long, which was kind of a bummer. I know that in marketing, like, and in business, like, there's, like, failure, I guess, quote unquote failure is part of the territory. You're going to do things that don't work. And this was just something that didn't work. And I, you know, I'm going to go back and kind of look at why it did or didn't work. But I think it would have been easy for me to be like halfway through the week and be like, well, no one's using the hashtag. Nobody's clearly like interested in this situation. So I can probably just stop doing it and move on to something else and maybe just pretend like it didn't happen, which I was kind of tempted to do. But I was like, you know what? Like, I said I was going to do this thing. I put it out there. I'm going to follow through. And I'm going to finish posting this week of posts that I had planned. And it wasn't very fun because, of course, I had envisioned a lot of interaction and, like, being able to do, you know, a giveaway at the end and all that kind of stuff, which didn't work out because, you know, it just didn't get the traction that it needed to. Nobody participated. But it was good practice for me, and it was an opportunity for me to be like, hey, I'm doing what I said I was going to do, you know? And even the people who maybe didn't participate but were following me on my Instagram at least got to see, like, hey, she did that thing that she said she was going to do. You know, and they're not like, oh, she said this thing, you know, because I have in the past, like, when I first started my business, I was like, I'm going to write an ebook about such and such. And I even announced it Because I was like, maybe that'll give me accountability to do this thing. And I never did the thing. And that was like, you know, 3 years ago or something like that. And so that was an example of a time where I, you know, I said I was going to do something and then I didn't do it. And I don't like that. That, you know, that's not how I want to run my business. So this time it was like, okay, I said I was going to do this thing. It's not going how I planned, but I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to stick with it through the end of the week. And so I did.
That would have surprised me if you didn't follow through. Because I see you as a person who does follow through. And that's not, I guess in my mind, you are the follow through person. You're like the person who follows the rules. And
I am a rule follower.
Right. And that's what I'm saying is that you are, I mean, that's what I, one thing I really love about you is that you do follow through on the things that you say you do or you will do. I don't, it would have surprised me if you'd actually stopped and not followed through with what you said. Because I think that's the kind of person you are. And I mean, like me not being a rule follower, I have an example where I did not follow through, which is, you know, recently, just as recently as December and like the first part of January, I was in this program, as you probably know, this data science program here locally. And it was supposed to be a 3-month process. And I got into it. And I was like way in over my head in terms of the math portion of it. It was very stats heavy and I just could not hang. And I was not getting the value I thought I should be getting out of it. And because of that, you know, I withdrew early January. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's not something that I had planned on. I planned on doing it until the end and following through and finishing the program. But I was like, I can't justify spending this much money on a program and also not getting what I thought I needed to get out of it to truly be successful at, you know, becoming a data scientist. So one thing I am doing, though, is to continue kind of studying on my own through things like Coursera or DataCamp and other MOOCs out there that will help me understand what, you know, all this is about.
What the heck is a MOOC?
A MOOC is a massive online course.
I've never heard that term before.
Really?
Yep.
Massive open online course. So a MOOC is massive open online course, like edX, or you can go to like MOOC.org. Or like MIT, Harvard, Stanford, they all do, you know, classes, free classes on any subject, actually. Hmm. Khan Academy is another one, but Khan Academy is more like a, I don't know, like a, just a class. It's not really a MOOC because you don't really get a certification or something like that.
So we definitely are not perfect. Both of us have experienced times where people didn't follow through on their commitment to us, and also times where we have not followed through on our commitment and doing what we said we would do. But I think we both have the intention of having integrity and keeping our word
and following through.
And following through as much as humanly possible.
Yeah. And following through is also something that is critical in planning big trips. For example, this Antarctica trip that we're about to go on. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, we're not going to be publishing a show the last few weeks of March because we will be on a research vessel.
Yes.
The Academic Iofi. Iofi?
We will be on Iofi. A boat by the Antarctic Peninsula.
Yeah, so we won't be publishing an episode on March 19th or March 26th because...
Yeah, we'll do a little spring break.
Yeah, we'll do a spring break. Or maybe we'll do like a mini-sode or something.
We'll see. But don't plan on full episodes those weeks.
Right.
So you've got a couple more weeks of content and then you can binge listen and catch up on all of the old content at the end of March.
Yeah. April 2nd is probably our next full episode.
Right.
Anyway, so it takes a lot of time to and some follow through with planning something like a trip to Antarctica, because it isn't like planning a trip to Las Vegas, because, you know, Las Vegas, there's a lot of infrastructure that's there. Yeah. You could pretty much hop on a flight on every hour from kind of anywhere in the U.S.
You could just show up in Vegas with nothing planned and it would probably turn out okay.
Right. As opposed to Antarctica, where you have to have a very conscious effort in planning the trip. And that's what we did. And it is literally 16 days away from now.
And we've been planning for almost a year.
Yeah. Yeah, for definitely, well, more than a year.
Well, yeah, when we booked the trip, it was like
in June.
June, okay.
Yeah, we booked it in June, but we had been talking about it for quite a while. We had researched all of the various, you know.
And I had been saving companies for like 3 years.
Right.
Like since I turned 27, I was like, I'm going to do Antarctica before I turn 30. And now I'm like weeks away from turning 30. Like, this is really happening and I'm really going to Antarctica.
And you're following through with this thing.
I'm following through. That's right. So crazy. I can't even believe it, guys.
Right. And then our RV trip, again, it took lots and lots of planning, and that is coming up in the
logistics.
Next 6 weeks from now. So, so it just goes to show that, you know, follow through is very important. If you want something, then follow through is kind of the key to getting or attaining that thing.
Get started and then keep going.
If you want, you know, the relationship of your dreams, which I have now.
No.
And, or if you want the trip of a lifetime or your business of a lifetime, then, you know, following through on it is really the only thing that separates you from success.
Definitely. And one of the things that we committed to doing in every episode is the sweep up. So what made you feel loved today, babe?
What made me feel loved today was we were running some errands and we got a lot of stuff done today because we got all of your gear, or most of the rest of your gear that we needed to. And we didn't spend a fortune doing it because we were able to find some good deals. And that made me feel loved that we were able to go out and spend time together with each other today. Just doing that, getting ready for our trip. It makes me feel like you're invested. I mean, I know you're invested in it because it costs a lot of money to go to Antarctica, but it emotionally and, you know, logistically, you're invested in it. That's not, you know.
Right.
Just
it's not just like, hey, babe, plan my birthday trip to Antarctica.
Yeah. So that made me feel loved. How about you? What made you feel loved?
It made me feel loved that this morning you helped me take a bunch of outfit photos so that I can sell some of my clothes that I'm downsizing my closet. I've literally gone through like at least four rounds of downsizing my closet. Maybe, no, I think about four.
Four.
And each time I get rid of more stuff. I took a bunch of stuff to Goodwill today, but there were a few things that I got rid of that I'm getting rid of this round that were like nicer things. And so I wanted to sell them, which I'm doing on Poshmark. And I literally changed into 10 different outfits this morning. I was like, hey, babe, come outside in the cold and take a picture of me for this post so that I can sell these clothes. And I just appreciated that you interrupted what you were doing repeatedly this morning just to help me with this project. So that meant a lot.
You're welcome, baby. I hope you sell all your stuff.
Me too.
What about you guys? Are you selling anything on Poshmark? Or no, What made you feel loved today? What made you guys feel
loved? Are you buying stuff on Poshmark? Because come find me and buy my things.
Yes. Do that. Then we don't have to worry about
also,
it.
Also, this is not a sponsored episode.
No.
This is just me.
What made you guys feel loved today or this week? Is there anything that that you felt loved with that because somebody followed through on something, or that somebody felt loved with because you followed through with them?
Yeah.
Let us know.
You can find all of the show notes and details from today's episode at swepttogether.com/episode26. And you'll also find social share links for Facebook and Twitter and, I don't know, I think email. There's some other social share links there. And you can share us with your friends, your family, significant other, business partner. You can find all of that at swepttogether.com.
And if you are on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you can find us at Swept Together. Or you can also rate us on iTunes. If you like the show, let your friends know. That would be the best way to
support us.
To support us, yeah.
Leave a review.
Yeah.
And if you're interested in some related episodes where we've talked about perseverance and focus and, you know, kind of some topics similar to this one, you can check out episode 12, Never Giving Up, where we talk about perseverance, and episode 15, where we keep our focus, which is where we talk about focus.
Right, which is all really all kind of things that align together. So thanks so much for tuning in this week and every week and listening to us on Swept Together Tuesdays, or whenever day you're listening this. Every day is Swept Together Day if you're listening to it. And again, we don't have any shows on or the in
last,
March.
The last 2 weeks of March, we're going to be out of office.
March 19th and 26th. No shows, but we will get back to you with tons of shows at that point, because we're gonna be high-fiving penguins and whales and stuff like that.
Yep.
Flippering a whale, a penguin, I don't know.
Please, whatever. Don't flip any penguins. You're just kicked off the island.
But they're so tiny and flippable. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We appreciate it.
Do we have a folder?
Do we have a folder?
A document?
No.
For this episode?
No.
Well, that was difficult for me. Do 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 do.
Okay.
Yeah. Giant wall of sound, it sounds like you.
Okay.
Just kidding, you're not really that loud. I'm gonna say something into the microphone. Such a turd. How many bins is this guy rolling?
I don't know. Just rolling trash bins back and forth across the neighborhood.
These guys are rolling bins for like 10 Jesus. Minutes. Am I supposed to say something else?
No.
My leg is still burning.